Now, let's take our study guide. Let's look at that together. Last week, you may remember we talked about the Holy Spirit being God, fully God, truly God. That's often referred to as the deity of the Holy Spirit. You have the deity of the Father, the deity of the Son, the deity of the Holy Spirit, all three God, eternally God, equally God. One is not less. Now, they have different roles. Keep that in mind. We've said that. The Bible makes that clear. But difference in role does not mean one is inferior or less than the other. In fact, you'll find in the Bible there's always this order of function, we'll call it, within the Trinity. There is a functional order, but it's not an order of superiority and inferiority. But I like to think of it like a pyramid. You sometimes see the Trinity displayed that way, even in theology books, because we all can learn visually, can't we? Can't we learn that way? You can see a diagram. And one of the best diagrams, I think, is to think of a pyramid, you know, a triangle-type shape, Father, and then inside the pyramid or the triangle, the top of it would be the Father, the midsection, the Son, and the bottom part, the Spirit, because there is, according to the Bible, this functional organization within the Trinity where the Father is over the Son, not more God than the Son, but that's just the way it works, even within the Trinity. The Father, and then the Son, and then the Holy Spirit. You never read a scripture where the Holy Spirit tells the Father what to do. But you understand, you know this well. Here's a prime example, that when Christ came, the Bible says the Father sent the Son, and the Holy Spirit submitted and was willing to obey the Father even unto the death of the cross. He humbled himself. Doesn't say the Father humbled himself. The Son humbled himself under the Father's authority. So there is this equality, and yet each one has a distinct role, and that role is has many facets to it, of course. Let's read some of the notes here. You got the handout, and that keeps us going on track, and maybe we can cover more material. I think we do that way. The Holy Spirit is often referred to as the third person of the Trinity, the Father being the first, and the Holy Spirit being the third, and the Son being the second. He is a person just like the Father and the Son. Now, this is sometimes been questioned. This is one of the areas of the Trinity that has been misunderstood, questioned, slighted, neglected, and often that's where the misunderstanding comes in, because we just haven't studied the Scripture, and God's made it plain, but we've not studied it, or we would be clear on it. And the areas that you have sometimes brought into question about the Holy Spirit is His deity and also His personality. Now, last week we talked about the deity. The Holy Spirit is divine, a divine part of the Trinity. Same as the Father, same as the Son. And though His role is different, He's no less God than the Father and the Son. But tonight, we're thinking about the personality. And this is an area probably where there's been even more misunderstanding. And it's simply because when you think about the Father, just the name or the title Father indicates personality. We can relate that to an earthly father, can we not? The same with the Son. The word Son, to our just normal way of thinking, we can understand the Son as a person, that term. But now, with the Spirit, that's not so. And so often, our minds may think in terms of the Spirit being an influence or a thing or a power, an impersonal power. And some of the cults speak of the Holy Spirit in that way. But the Bible does not. The Bible is clear that He is a person. And that's the pronoun, by the way, that's used. And we may get some of those verses in John. I hope we have time to do that. Where over and over in John's Gospel, the Holy Spirit is spoken of as He. And that's even more remarkable when you think that, when you know that the word for Spirit in the original language, the Greek language, is neuter. It's not masculine. But yet the Spirit is followed by the pronoun that refers to the Spirit as He rather than it. So that's God's powerful way of reminding us that He is a person. And He is a He and not an it. So this is what we're thinking about tonight. Now, the lesson that the teenagers and the students are looking at tonight follows along these two lines. You see point number one there, the Holy Spirit has all the traits of a person. And then main point number two, the Holy Spirit relates like a person. That is, has relationships like a person would rather than an impersonal force or influence. So this is the basic way to look at it in a simple, understandable way. Now, when we say the Holy Spirit has the traits of a person, what we're talking about are basically three things. And you see that in the outline. Two are mentioned in subpoint A. He, the Holy Spirit, possesses intellect and emotions. Sometimes intellect is referred to as mind. That is the capacity to think. And then emotions. And you see those references underneath. You see the bullet points? Some of those proofs from Scripture are that He guides and counsels. What would that have to do with? That would have to do with intellect, wouldn't it? He guides. He counsels. And He's the Holy Spirit deals in knowledge. And with that comes wisdom and guidance and so forth, counseling, or counsels us to do this or to do that. Also, the word interceding, He intercedes. Well, that strongly implies knowledge. There's the verse there in Romans, you see it, Romans 8:27, that speaks of the Holy Spirit's ability to comprehend the desires that we can't find words for. Well, that has to do with comprehension. It has to do with understanding. And this is the trait of a person. And then He enlightens us. And then you have the emotional aspect, another aspect of personality, there where references are that He expresses joy and love. Also anger, offense. He can be offended. And we read as one of our focus verses tonight, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Well, you can't grieve a thing. I can't grieve this pulpit or this microphone. But if a person is standing up here, I could bring grief to a person, can't I? So just another, it's a wonderful proof and revelation of His nature. And He possesses a will. That's the third aspect of personality. And a will, of course, to further define that is the power to choose or to determine something. And here are a couple of examples. He has the will to contend with and convict sinners. That is something He does. He determines to do that. And He does that. And He is the one given that role, like we're talking about. That's His unique role, is to contend. You read back in Genesis 6:3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. that's contending. And we know how that goes, don't we? Because he has to persuade us. And we resist, don't we? But he doesn't give in or give up. And so there is that intensity, that will he has to overcome our stubborn will and our dead heart and our unbelief. And thank God he does that. Amen? Amen. If he didn't do that, we wouldn't be here tonight. I can assure you that. So he has done a work in our hearts in that way. And conviction, which is a very vital step, key step in a person's salvation, to convince us of truth beyond doubt, to where we're brought to submit to the truth of something, that we're a sinner, that Christ is the Savior, and he's the only Savior. That's conviction. And he brings that to our hearts. Then he regenerates. That's a term that means he gives new life. And then he equips believers. All of these things would imply that he thinks and he decides, and these are the actions of a person. Hold your place right there and look over on the second page of the flip side of your page, 165. And let's read this note that I think it's along the same lines here, but there's a little more detail here, and I want to read through this with you. This will sort it out very nicely, I think. And you can see the source that we have taken these notes from, an excellent book I highly recommend to you, Biblical Doctrine, and John MacArthur and his longtime associate Richard Mayhew at the Master's Seminary are the editors of this great volume. Look at the paragraph. Biblically speaking, there can be no doubt about the Holy Spirit's existence in that he is mentioned over 320 times, that is, in Scripture. But is the Holy Spirit a person, like God the Father and God the Son? Personhood, this is a great statement, personhood is not measured by physical elements such as body parts, flesh, blood, and bones. Rather, it is determined by the possession of three basic characteristics. And here they are, same ones we just talked about. Cognition or intellect or mind. Number two, volition or will. And number three, emotion or affection. Three categories. Those are three marks of any personal being, including God himself. The Bible provides more than sufficient evidence that the Holy Spirit possesses all three essentials of personhood. Thus, the Spirit can be classified as the third person of the triune Godhead. And then they have broken this out very clearly and helpfully. Under the mind aspect or the cognition or intellect aspect of God's personhood, the Holy Spirit counsels, imparts wisdom, inspired scripture, intercedes, knows, possesses a mind, reminds us. All that has to do with thinking capacity, doesn't it? He helps us because he has that capacity that he endows us with to a limited degree, of course. He provides truth. He's known as the Spirit of Truth. Several references there in John. And that section, by the way, if you want to do further study in the New Testament on John, on the Holy Spirit, John 14, 15, and 16 is the place to go. Just read those three chapters. And then you might want to start marking references to the Holy Spirit. And I can see we're not going to have time. But in that part of John, you will see often that personal pronoun, he, over and over, he. And then the possessive, his, he, him, his, all in reference to the Holy Spirit rather than it. And also the truth, much of an emphasis there. He speaks, teaches, and testifies. Then there are attributes, or not attributes, characteristics or traits associated with will or volition. He contends with sinners. We've already mentioned that one. He directs, distributes spiritual gifts. He's the one that decides what abilities we have. Makes that clear in 1 Corinthians 12. He gives to every person as he wills. That's the word. It's the Holy Spirit's function to decide who is enabled to do what. So we should never quibble with that, should we? Should we ever envy somebody else's gift? Of course not. Should we ever feel like we're left out and we didn't get such and such? No, we should never, because the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, was assigned with that responsibility. And He knows what's best for the church, and He knows what's best for you. And so we often describe a spiritual gift as to how a person's wired. I think that's something we can relate to. Everybody in here is wired differently. Don't we know it? And I'm not talking about personality. I'm talking about spiritual giftedness. And that wiring, so to speak, is the Holy Spirit's doing. Marvelous thing. He regenerates. That is, He gives new life, a new heart. What we've been studying as men on Saturday morning. It is pure gold. Absolutely pure gold. How much the Bible says and what it says about the new birth. Then emotion and affection. Here's a list of things. He experiences joy, can be insulted, grieves over sin, and loves. In fact, we speak of the fruit of the Spirit. That's the last reference you had there, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit, we did a series on that. You may remember, I think it was last year, 2023. And the first fruit mentioned is love. And all of those fruit of the Spirit, all nine, are qualities that the Holy Spirit produces in us and through us. True? Maybe I need to preach that series again. I don't do that. Well, of course we know that. And love is the chief one, the first one. All right. Our time is about up. So, Matt, come, and then we'll have a closing prayer, if you would. And we didn't get to number two on the front page, but as Matt's coming, I'll just draw your attention to that real quick. The Holy Spirit relates like a person. And some of these references here, I think most all of them, speak of His relationship within the Trinity. There is a relational quality of the Trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit love one another. There is a mutual love among the three, and the closest of relationships. And we see that in some of these references here. And then how the Holy Spirit relates to people. We are told, are we not, to be baptized in the name, singular, of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And whenever we baptize, that's what we say, based on that scripture. And so for the Holy Spirit not to be a person and not to be divine, just like the Father and Son, there's no way that God would tell us to be baptized in the name, singular, of the three members of the Trinity, unless they were all equal and all God. And so that's just a marvelous thing that we sometimes take for granted. There's another one there, 2 Corinthians, what is it? 13:14. I want to read that one. It's not as well known. And we'll close with that, Matt, and then you can come. It's a benediction, sometimes called the Trinitarian benediction, because it mentions all 3. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Beautiful verse. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So you see how closely connected they are. All of them mentioned in that one verse.